Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding, and president of From the Heart Productions. Our guest today is Jason Brubaker. He's a contributing author of The Independence Guide to Film Distributors and the founder of Filmmaking Stuff, a professional resource for independent filmmakers. He currently serves as the manager of business and development at Chill, where he helps indie filmmakers leverage the social window to get their movies seen and selling. And Carol, I understand that Jason is a donor to the Roy Dean Film Grants.
Yes, he has been for many years. And Jason, we are sincerely honored to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
So we have so much to cover. Let's get started with what you're so famous for. First, I have to say how much I really enjoy your book, Filmmaking Stuff, How to Make, Market, and Sell Your Movie Without the Middleman. And this is where everything is moving. So you wrote this a year or so ago. You were way ahead of the curve, Jason.
Yeah, I always see the world as sort of, you know, there's a lot of middlemen in traditional distribution and the way movies are seen and sold, and I see a world now where all of us as filmmakers can connect directly with our audience. The bigger question is, how do we do that? And, of course, that leads to so many other questions, like how do we make it a viable business?
Absolutely. Well, let's start off first with how do you build your database around your film, and we'll get into how to make it a viable business through this show.
Sure. One of the big discussions taking place right now is whether or not it's kind of a chicken and the egg discussion. Do you build your audience first, or do you go out and create your projects and then build your audience? And I'm of the opinion that building your audience is something that you can begin doing today. So in terms of building a database, these are people that know you, know your work, they like you, and they will hopefully follow your creativity and all of the things that you produce from, you know, through the course of your career. And the model is nothing new. It's very similar to any other business, except, you know, with filmmaking, you always had to go through traditional distribution to reach your audience, and now you can sell directly to them. So, you know, building your database and getting started with it comes down to just having a few basic things. One is you want to have a website for your filmmaking. You want to have a social media presence in at least the two popular places, which would be Facebook and Twitter, and you want to begin producing content. So even if you're not ready to make your first feature film or your fifth feature film, you should still be making short films for YouTube and uploading them so that you can begin to get your work out there, and through this, people get to know you.
Okay. So where on Google do you find groups that are similar to your film?
Well, so let's say, and that's a great question. So it's one thing to say I need an audience, but the next part of it is, well, where do I find my audience? Jason, I'm making, you know, a bunch of short films. I'm putting them up on YouTube. I'm getting some followers there. Some people are following me on Twitter, Facebook. They're signing up for my mailing list. But I'm making these movies about subject matter, and I'm not sure exactly where to find, you know, my groups, people that are out there interested in my topic. So, you know, to your question, I would say take a step back and take a look at your primary interests. Are you interested, is your movies interested in, are you focused and interested on skateboarding, for example, and you're creating content around skateboarding? Are you interested in cigars and you're creating content around cigar making and that whole culture? Well, if so, there's tons of different groups and forums and websites that are devoted to that kind of subject matter. Your goal is to get a pen and paper and kind of do this old school, or you could open up a spreadsheet, but you want to make a list of about 50 to 100 of these top websites that are focused on the types of movies that you want to make, and you want to begin building relationships with those people because those publications are a nice gateway to your preferred target audience.
Okay, so I know in your book you said to build a spreadsheet. You're very clear on that. However, once you do that, then let's just say that you have found a lot of groups that are on the same subject matter. I'm working with a woman doing a film about rape and recovery from rape, and the heroine takes a class in how to protect herself in the future, so it's a very empowering film for women. So if she goes online and she takes her keywords and she Googles those and comes up with a lot of groups, forums, websites, well, would you say that she should have social networkers helping her to get on those groups and then start creating trust and respect in the group and eventually talking about the film? Or how how are you going to move those people to her website?
Right, and I think that points to another factor in this model, which is you have two choices when building an audience. One is you could do what the movie studios do, which is spend millions upon millions of dollars to get word out about your movie, in which case you can employ an entire team of marketers or marketing organizations and PR professionals and what have you to help you spread word of mouth, which would include, as you described, people going into the forums and maybe talking about the movie. And that's one way to do it. The other way that I prefer is sort of it's a bit slower. It's a lot more involved, but I think it's the more genuine approach to media, where we're going away from mass media into social media, which is the very definition of it, where you go in and you go into these forums and you start to build those relationships and you come across as a very genuine person and, you know, in the very basic mechanics, you would have a link back to your movie website or wherever you want to send people in your signature. And you would go in there and you would actually get into the conversation over a period of weeks and months. And then, you know, as you mentioned, you would gradually begin talking about your movie. But you would do this in a very conversational way, and you would do it in such a way, in ways akin to how any friend tells another friend about a movie. Because that's your goal. Your goal is to make friends first and then start promoting later, but do it in the context of the conversation. It's
exactly.
Not a shout. You're not going to shout at people the whole time like, hey, come watch my movie and expect to get great engagement.
No. First you have to build trust. And you're talking to a woman who sold short ends, so I know that you have to create respect and trust, and then people will pay attention and listen and feel comfortable with you. And you do that online, right?
I think online is probably the best way to do it. But depending on your subject matter, you may find that there's all sorts of different industry events. You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, skateboarding and some of the other kinds of groups out there that, you know, where people have an interest in a particular subject matter or culture. Well, there's usually events at different convention centers and what have you, where you can also go and put on speaking gigs and do all sorts of things so that you can actually connect face-to-face. That would be one example of an offline approach. But, yes, in terms of, you know, the low-hanging fruit, I would say starting online is definitely your best approach.
Well, Jason, once you find organizations on Google Analytics, how do you approach them?
Well, when you're going out and you're doing a search, you're doing a search on Google and you're finding different keywords that, you know, you think appeal to your target audience and you're finding the websites that relate to those keywords, the best way to approach them is just a simple email. Figure out who owns the website, who runs it, and just shoot them a quick, you know, you got to remember that everybody's reading their email on their phone, so don't make it a long, lengthy email. Just say, hey, you know, I'm Jason. I'm interested in skateboarding. I noticed you have this great forum about skateboarding. I'm doing this movie, would you be interested in seeing a screener? Or would you be interested in hearing about updates? And I'd begin that conversation months and months before you actually plan to go to market with your movie so that you can kind of lock and load this as part of your overall marketing strategy.
Wow. Okay. So you engage them. Now, let me ask you something. You then send them to your website instead of Facebook where you can capture their email address, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm talking about two separate things here. One is creating a relationship with the website owners, but if we're talking about a forum where you want to get in on the conversation and people are talking and everybody's interested in your subject matter, then you can send them one of two places. You could either send them directly to your website where you would have some sort of email capture system in place. That it happens to be my preferred method because once you have them on email, you know, that's something that you control. But a lot of filmmakers will argue, hey, you know, I have a bunch of people on my email list, but oddly enough, more people from Facebook actually buy my movie than through my email list. So which one's better? This is where it gets a little bit goofy, but you have to test to find out where you have the higher conversions. I like email because, again, you control that. And with social networking sites, different policies can, you know, policies can change overnight, and depending on those changes, you may not have the same reach with your social networks as you had before or the same control over that relationship. You know, you think about Facebook, for example, you get a lot of people onto your page, but now in order to, you know, send out an update to that page, you oftentimes have to spend money to even reach your entire network, which to a lot of people seems a little goofy. I mean, I understand it from the Facebook perspective, but it's not always advantageous to, you know, trying to run your own business without putting another obstacle in front of you and your audience.
Exactly. When Bree, who's my associate, opens Facebook, she said, they did it again. They did it again. They've changed, you know, so you have to be prepared, right?
Well, I did it, you know, many years ago. There was another company, which we're all familiar with, and I had about 10,000 fans that were interested in filmmaking. And literally, it felt like within like 2 weeks' time, I'm sure it was much longer, much more gradual, but suddenly, you know, my 10,000 fans were non-receptive because nobody was going to the site anymore. And that's a site that went out of vogue. So I spent the next year trying to rebuild my list of people from scratch. And this time around, I put them on email as opposed to depending on a social networking site that may or may not go out of vogue in a few years or change policy so to the point that it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Well, tell us what type of gifts you think work to get people to leave their email address.
Yeah, sure. So if you congregate, you know, if you've sourced a rather large audience in the social networks, or you have a lot of people come to your website, one of the things that happens is everybody, it seems, is asking for an email address these days, but very few people are doing it, I think, the right way. And the right way is to always offer something of value. You have to remember that even though they're not giving you money, an email address is valuable. You're going to become yet another email that's flooding their inbox. And for those of us that are busy, like right now I have about 530 unread emails, and I'm like, man, when am I going to get there? So the last thing I want to do is add somebody out, you know, sign up for something else so that I get yet more email. So that has to be very compelling. So in the context of filmmaking, one of the things that you can add is maybe some behind-the-scenes footage, some music from the soundtrack to your movie, something of value that says, hey, give me your email address and I'm going to give you this in exchange. And depending on the type of movie, you know, you may very well garner some success. There's some people right now that are doing cult horror movies where they have all sorts of neat things that could be given away in a digital form that makes it very appealing for somebody to trade their email address. So you just have to think creatively. Nobody's going to just give you an email address for, you know, nothing, unless they're incredibly lonely. And very few people are going to give you an email address just to sign up for the, quote, newsletter, because who needs yet another newsletter where somebody else is talking about how great they are? This is about engagement and friendships. And so, you know, think about it from your perspective. If you're trying to make a new friend, what could you do up front to kind of you know, speed up that process?
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Yes. Now, what number of names have you seen successful filmmakers get on their site? How many are we talking?
So this varies a little bit. And depending on your distribution strategy, you may not need as many names because maybe you work with a good partner that helps you amplify your reach. So if you only have a few thousand names, you know, that's something that somebody can work with. So I would say at the very minimum, you want to have, and I'm pulling this number out, because even if you had 1,000 names, it could be that only two people are actually going to buy your movie. So you won't know until you actually go to market and start testing it. But the safe bet that's utilized in internet marketing crowds and a goal, you know, in terms of different benchmarks is 2,500 is a good starting point. 10,000 is great. And I happen to know of one filmmaker right now who has close to 100,000 Facebook likes. And with his particular movie, he's noticing that more people are coming from Facebook and actually converting to, you know, paying members of his movie audience versus, you know, just through other methods alone. So that can be very daunting, though, for a lot of filmmakers just starting out, because you think like, oh, man, I don't even have two people on my list. How am I going to build it up? Again, we're talking a long-term process here. You start with your short films, you start building a list, and through your career over a period of years, you get thousands upon thousands of people who know you and know your work, and suddenly that becomes very valuable because you have audience engagement. And now, you know, when you have tens of thousands of people on your list, you can approach prospective investors and say, you know, I have this many people on my list. They're all interested in horror movies. I just shot out an email last night and surveyed who would be interested in, you know, my next horror movie, and surprisingly, you know, 20% of my list said that yes, I want to see that movie. Well, suddenly that's very appealing from your business planning perspective, because you can now create some sort of cash, revenue projections that for most filmmakers they'd be pulling them out of thin air or based on some loose theory, but you have a little bit more solid information, and that's helpful. But if you don't have that, and I, my goal here is to offer advice to all filmmakers. So if you don't have a huge list, then your next best thing is to find other filmmakers that have movies that are related to a similar subject matter. And you go back to that point earlier where I was saying you got to contact the owner of that website, contact the owner of that company, reach out to them, let them know what you're doing, build a relationship, and see if they wouldn't help you with some sort of cross-promotion of your movie, assuming they like it and they think it would be a good fit for their list. There's a lot of filmmakers right now sitting on lists that are in between projects that are looking for something else to kind of keep everybody active and engaged. And, you know, I'm speaking from experience. There's times with filmmaking stuff where I'm so busy actually working in the filmmaking space. For me, it's film distribution. That I can't get to my list. So I'm often looking for guest posters or people that would be interested in creating content so that I can keep giving my audience something of value at those times when I'm really busy.
And it really keeps the momentum going this way as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you have to look at it like an ongoing business. And in the past model, so many filmmakers were like, I'm going to make a movie and forget it. And that's not the case anymore. You have to look at your movie like an annuity. You know, something that's like an asset, something that's out there and it's going to produce money for you year after year after year. Is it going to make you millions upon millions of dollars? In some cases, you know, some lucky cases, probably. But for most filmmakers, having a solid movie out there where you have an audience that's engaged and active and continually looking forward to your next update, you know, that's income. That's a business.
Right. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you for that. All right. Well, let's talk about this movie, Birdemic 2, because that's a good example of a film that used the internet to amplify their fan base, and I understand they released with Chill. So tell me more about them and what they did, please.
Oh, sure. So I'm working with a company right now called Chill. You can find it at chill.com. We're a digital distribution platform, and we're you know, we're based here in Los Angeles, and we're backed. We've been funded by some pretty big players out there, so we have ambitious goals. And, But we're taking, you know, the way that we look at the world is a little bit cutting edge and not really following some of the traditional standards. What we believe is, you know, a reflection of what I believe, which is filmmakers now have direct access to the audience, but they need a little bit of a push. So if you take a movie like Birdemic that was released by Chill, what's interesting about that is the first Birdemic was considered the worst movie ever made, so this was the sequel to the worst movie ever made. The gentleman had a built-in fan base, but more importantly is, you know, the fans aren't just interested in the movie. I mean, they're very interested in the movie, but they're also interested in engaging with the filmmaker and, on top of that, getting some merchandising opportunities to go with it. So if you look at the Chill website, you don't just have the ability to buy a movie, but you have the ability to buy a merchandising bundle, or in ways akin to, you know, some of the other stuff that you're seeing out there, you can also get an experience. So some of the filmmakers are actually saying, hey, you know, instead of just buying the movie, why don't you buy this bundle and you get to come out to dinner with me? So that's similar to crowdfunding. If you remember some of the perks that people offer in crowdfunding, well, you can also do that when you go to market. So that is interesting. You know, it's cool because what we find is a lot of people that are engaged, your audience, they don't just want to get the movie. They want some other parts to go with it.
So buy the bundle and you get to come out to dinner with me. So are people buying that? Is it working?
Well, I'm not, you know, that's just an example out there that you can create any bundle that you want. You can have merchandising bundles, bundles that include not just the movie, but the movie and the soundtrack, or a bundle that includes, hey, I'm gonna give you the movie now, but why don't you come out to one of our screenings, you know, in 2 months, and people pay for that. I don't know the stats in terms of, you know, who pays for what bundle, but you can have these things out there, and if somebody comes along and they're your most enthusiastic fan, why not give them an experience that, you know, they're willing to pay for, because they certainly see the value in it. So now you're not just selling a movie for, you know, these are all examples that I'm just pulling out for the sake of the conversation, but now you're not just selling a movie for $9.99. You're selling a bundle for, you know, $19.99 or the big bundle for $49.99 and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's exciting. Okay, well, let me know, what are the fees to set up your download with Chill?
It's a 70-30 split in favor of the filmmaker. And what that means is there's a lot of people out there that tout fees. And with Chill, it's what we would call a real 70%. And the reason for that is because Chill eats any of the credit card fees and streaming fees and all of that stuff. They eat it out of their 30%. So 70% in favor of the filmmaker.
Well, that sounds interesting. So in other words, what's the deliverable? What state does your movie have to be in to give it to Chill?
Well, the cool thing is when you go to upload the movie, all of those specs are laid out in front of you. So we take them through a step-by-step process. For those of you listening, if you want to check it out, go to chill.com/createtours, C-R-E-A-T-O-R-S. So chill.com/creators. And what you'll see is a step-by-step process to help you upload all of your content onto the site. So you don't have to send any hard drives or any of the cumbersome stuff that you run into with some other folks out there. It's an MP4 format, and the file usually comes out to be around under 5 gigabytes for the main movie file. And then for the digital bundles, you can upload those as well.
Well, is there a contract?
What we're talking about with this, just a basic, self-serve model, the contract is non-exclusive. You just say, hey, I'm going to upload my movie. And once you upload your movie, it's like a lot of those sites, you can take it down whenever you need to. You would need to fulfill any of the bundles that people purchase prior to taking your movie down, because obviously they've purchased those bundles, but you know, once all of that's fulfilled, you know, we're fine. You're not locked in any long-term agreement. But it does bring up an interesting point, and I think we're going to focus on this a lot today, but where, in terms of release windows, when is Chill a good idea, or when do you take your movie to market? And that raises a whole other series of questions. Before I head over to that, any more about just some of this upload stuff?
Well, not the upload, but let's say that a filmmaker uploads his film. Does Chill do any marketing for him? What is part of the 30%? Do they market at all?
Sure. Well, built into the Chill system, and so if you look at the background of the guys that developed Chill, they come from very successful careers in, you know, advertising and social networking. And Chill was built from, you know, from the ground up with the thought of how do we amplify the audience for the filmmaker? So in a very basic sense, whenever somebody buys your movie, there's all sorts of social networking tools built into the buy flow. So let's say somebody buys your movie, they love it so much that they immediately after purchase, they're prompted to say, hey, you just bought this movie, you love it, you want to help the filmmaker out, click here to tweet, click here to broadcast to your Facebook fans. And what happens is, you know, the vast majority of people, of course, do that, which then brings people back from their social networks into Chill so that they, in turn, continue the process. So one person tells another person, and they tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else. And the goal is to really, you know, expand the footprint of what's possible or amplify your social media reach.
Okay. Well, and now we're back to the person with 10,000 names. And those 10,000 names would bring him a lot of downloads or her, right?
Yeah, and I don't, whenever I'm presented with these numbers, I don't mean to get overly goofy, but I guess from a marketing standpoint, you just, these are, we would assume that these are 10,000 people that are actually going to buy the movie versus just having 10,000 names. I think it's a clear distinction.
Oh, okay.
Well, in other words, like, you know, out of, if you have 10,000 people, and maybe not all 10,000 of them are going to buy.
No, but if you got 5%, it would be a very good marketing on your behalf.
Thank you. Right? Yeah, that's the clarification I was looking for. So we always got to, as marketers, we always have to assume kind of, you know, a very conservative tactic. But yes, if you get 5% of those 10,000 and they're out there and they're tweeting and they're diehard fans, yeah, you can then begin to really create a first window opportunity where you engage with the people that are most interested in your movie. So we call this the social window. It's a time when people are most interested in your movie, they're most apt to buy, and our philosophy is why would you want to throw them into some big anonymous marketplace? Why wouldn't you want to keep that relationship strong and engaging?
Okay, well, go ahead. Let's talk about that social window.
Yes, please.
Okay, so traditionally speaking, as a filmmaker, you make a movie, you go out into the festivals, and during the festival run, you may or may not win awards, but what's happening is you're getting all sorts of feedback from people that are really interested in your movie, and this is my experience. A lot of people are saying, well, where can I buy this movie? When is it going to become available? And the traditional response is, well, we're talking to sales agents and distributors right now, hopefully something in the next 6 months. And next thing you know, 6 months rolls around, you're tired of the festivals, you're done with the festival circuit, the phones probably stop ringing, and sitting in front of you is a whole bunch of distribution offers from, you know, distributors that may or may not make any business sense. And you're looking at that the whole time, and then the question is, well, should I just, you know, self-distribute? Maybe I can go and put this movie on to, you know, one of those anonymous marketplaces, and meanwhile, that's going to take 60 to 90 days to get out onto, like, Amazon or iTunes, and you got to go through a whole encoding process and do all sorts of goofy stuff to get your movie past even the technical specs so that it goes live. Well, the question then becomes, well, what's happening for all my fans that were once super diehard and excited about my movie? These are people that have mortgages, kids, families, you know, bills to pay, different things that distract them because they're human beings. And even though your movie is the most important part of your life during that time, I mean, I'm sure you have other things that are important as well, but it's a very important part of your life. These other people have moved on, and they're, you know, they're distracted by the next bright, shiny object. So the question is there a time when it makes sense to just go to market with your movie so that you no longer have to say, oh, my movie's, you know, it'll be out in 6 months, we're waiting, you know, for our broadcast deal or something like that? Well, going back to your early example, Carol, if you have 10,000 people on your list and a large percentage of them are excited about your movie, why wouldn't you just sell it to them? Why would you need to go somewhere else through somebody else so that you can say, oh, hey, dear 10,000 people, please come watch my movie through this other channel, when you could just start selling your movie to them directly?
Exactly. And if you got 500 of those, at what's the going right now for a downloaded film? $8?
Sure, $9.99, you know, or we can make it real simple, $10, and you keep $7 of the $10, yeah, it begins to add up pretty well. And that's your first social window. That doesn't mean that you can't go out and explore the other various marketplaces. It just means that you've now given your fan base, the people that are most interested in your movie, you know, gratification, as opposed to losing them and losing the momentum.
Exactly, and it's a fast window. You don't have to go through a distributor and pay all the money for marketing and prints and advertising and end up with a very small percentage, is what I hear most people say. That they, yep, they end up paying so much more to SAG and other areas that they don't make that much money when the day's done.
Well, you know, the SAG stuff, if you're making a SAG movie, you're still going to have to pay SAG dues and what have you.
With downloads?
Well, that would be paid on the filmmaker side. So, and I'm not a lawyer, and I don't specialize in that kind of, you know, in that arena in terms of distribution. But if a filmmaker makes a deal with an investor or SAG or somebody else out there, they have to, you know, they'll obviously have to abide by that deal. But just speaking strictly of what they normally go through in distribution, they have 6 or 7 different middlemen between the filmmaker and the marketplace. And these would be sales agents and distributors and sub-distributors. Those people usually take a piece of the pie, and by the time the filmmaker gets their cut, then it's diminished quite a bit. So going back to what you're saying, if we can deliver a strong 70% to the filmmaker, and on top of what you described as having the movie for like $10, let's say we throw in a few merchandising opportunities and now people aren't just paying $10, but they're paying $20, $30, $40. Well, now that 70% becomes a significant number. And
yes,
that's what we're working to do here is to just figure out a way to make it better for the filmmaker.
Well, Jason, can you give us just a couple of really great ideas of what some of the merchandise pieces might be that could go with a package?
Yeah, I personally love, for me personally, I love soundtracks. And so if I'm that into the movie and I'm driving around, I would love nothing more than to listen to the soundtrack in my car, especially if it's one of these movies that has a cult following and it would just be kind of fun and goofy to play it with my friends in the car. But I've seen everything, you know, in the case of Birdemic, which is a neat case study, they're actually selling physical merchandise as well as the downloadable stuff. So you can go, I believe they have an Evil Eagle hand puppet, something like that on the site. And people that are interested in the subject matter, they love hand puppets. So, you know, why wouldn't you offer that to your fan base? But so it can be as simple as the soundtrack, and it can get as complex and as goofy as you want. I mean, you know, I keep bringing up the example of skateboarding movies because I happen to love skateboarding movies, and I'm a former skateboarder. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a skateboarding movie where the filmmaker could offer, you know, a specially produced skateboard that they could send out to somebody that has, you know, the logo of their movie on the skateboard and maybe it's signed by some people in the cast. You know, that kind of stuff is all an option. And obviously the people that are going to buy that are people that are most interested in the movie.
Most interested, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea. Now, what is the connection with crowdfunding mentioned on the site? Do you actually offer the crowdfunding?
Well, what happens with crowdfunding is oftentimes, especially in the context of film, let me take a step back. Crowdfunding sites right now not all of them are just focused on film. If you look at Kickstarter and Indiegogo as two examples, they go into all sorts of different verticals, from everything from healthcare to political, you know, idealism and all sorts of different advocacy, you know, related to what have you. With that said, for the filmmakers that are raising money for their movies, oftentimes what happens is they say, as a perk, we're going to give you a copy of the movie. And that's all fine and good, but then when it comes time to actually, you know, they've completed their crowdfunding goal and it comes time to get those perks out to their supporters, that can be a little bit challenging, especially if they promise a digital download, because suddenly you're in a space where you're like, wait, how do I do this? Do I email it to people, and how do I make this easy for myself, and I have, you know, thousands of people I got to get this out to? That can be a very time-consuming process. So what Chill looked at was, hey, I think we can just help these filmmakers that have successful crowdfunding campaigns. So we built it in a system that they can offer free downloads to their crowdfunding supporters. You can go in there and create a digital code specific to, you know, your crowdfunders, and then get that out to them so that they can get a download of the movie. And really? What happens during that is that also turns on the buy flow that I talked about earlier, where they can then tell their social networks, hey, I just downloaded this movie. It's great. Go check it out.
Right. So the word gets out on the street. Well, Claire, that is great. I didn't know all that. Did you?
No, I wasn't aware of that. And there just seems to be so many new things coming on board. Jason, you are just a wealth of information, and we just have a couple of minutes left. So I just wanted to make sure everybody knows how they can reach you and all the best places to find you.
Sure. For general information about filmmaking and film distribution, check out my main website, which is filmmakingstuff.com. And I know we got into the discussion pretty heavy about Chill today. So if you want to find out more about Chill, go to chill.com, C-H-I-L-L, so chill.com, and that'll give you an idea of what we do.
Okay, wonderful. Carol, any last-minute thought here?
Well, I think Chill is very lucky to have you, Jason. I find you to be right on target. You're surfing the wave all the time. You see the future. And you're the kind of filmmaker we need to give us advice and information so we can move through this digital switch and make money at it. Say goodbye to those distributors who are always taking too much money for their part and move into direct distribution, where you know how much money you're going to make when you sell a film, right?
Correct. And thank you for saying all those things. You know, the ultimate goal that all of us have is just to figure out, you know, we love making movies, so how do we make this a viable business and continue to make movies?
Exactly. Thanks, Jason.
The whole new world.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you very much, you. Jason.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.